All right. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. This time we are tackling something that might not seem like the most thrilling topic at first, Australian building codes.
Not as exciting as, say, I don't know, the history of cheese.
Haha. Well, maybe not quite as delicious, but trust me, this stuff is pretty interesting once you get into it.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking specifically at the 2022 update, and we'll be diving into volumes 1, 2, and 3 of the Building Code of Australia.
Oh, wow. The whole shebang.
The whole shebang, yes. So whether you're dreaming of building a home down under, or you work in construction, or just love a good deep dive into unexpected topics, stick with us.
I'm ready to geek out on some building codes.
Awesome. Me too. Okay, so to kick things off, let's start with the basics. How does Australia actually classify different types of buildings? You know, like what goes into deciding if a building is a this or a that?
Well, they have this really, really comprehensive system. It covers everything. Like, I mean, literally everything. From single family homes, which are class one.
Which is class one single family homes. Got it.
Yeah.
To, you know, all the way to private bushfire shelters.
Bushfire shelters? What? That's a thing.
It is. Those are considered class 10C.
Oh, they've got a class for everything. But I imagine it can't always be that straightforward. What happens if a building doesn't fit neatly into just one category? Like, how do they decide?
That is a fantastic question. That's where it gets really tricky. And where things get, well, kind of subjective too. It's not always black and white. Like, let's say you're designing a fancy hotel. The rooms for the guests, those are pretty straightforward, right?
Class three.
Class three, hotel rooms. Makes sense.
But then you've got, like, the hotel bar, that swanky bar on the ground floor, you know?
Yeah, those are always cool.
So is that, like, retail space, because that's class six? Or is it more like an entertainment venue, because those are class 9B?
Ah, that's a great point. Where do you draw the line? Right, so they have to consider a bunch of factors, you know, like how many people are going to be in the space, what's it mainly being used for, even the fire risk of different activities plays a role. Actually, the code gives some specific scenarios to help make those judgment calls, which I found pretty interesting.
Like what? Give us an example.
Okay, so imagine a building that sells goods.
Right.
But it sells to both the public and to, like, wholesalers.
Okay, interesting.
So it's not just one or the other. It kind of straddles both. So it's not always as simple as just looking at the building itself. You got to think of how it's going to be used, you know, in real life.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's almost like a detective game figuring out how to classify some of these buildings. I never really thought of building codes as being so nuanced. It's a lot more than meets the eye, huh?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much to consider.
All right, so speaking of building codes, you know, the first thing that always pops into my head is fire safety. I mean, that's got to be a big deal, especially in Australia, right?
Oh, absolutely. Huge. I mean, with the climate there and the bushfire risk, you know, fire safety is a top priority. And the Australian code, it gets super specific, you know, down to calculating the thickness of walls for fire resistance.
Whoa, really? Like, they tell you exactly how thick a wall needs to be.
Yeah, and even, like, outlining rules for using those hollow units in construction. You know, those hollow concrete blocks and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's not just about, like, blindly following rules. It's also understanding, like, why those rules exist in the first place.
Right, that makes sense. So, like, what's the logic behind some of these fire safety rules? Can you give us an example?
Yeah, sure. So, for instance, did you know that, like, load-bearing walls and non-load-bearing walls, they actually have different fire resistance requirements?
That's interesting. Why would that be?
Well, think about it. Those load-bearing walls, they're holding up the whole building.
Yeah, they're doing the heavy lifting, literally.
Exactly. So they need to stay strong, you know, for a longer time in case of a fire, so people have no time to get out safely.
Ah, that makes total sense. So it's not just about whether something is fire resistant or not, but also how long it can resist fire?
Exactly. And that's where those fire resistance levels, or FRLs, come in. They basically tell you how long a building element can withstand fire before it, like, fails.
Okay, so FRLs, fire resistance levels, those sound important. What do those look like in the code?
They're usually a set of numbers, like 909090, for example.
909090. Okay.
And that would mean that the element can, you know, maintain its structural integrity and prevent the fire from spreading and provide insulation for at least 90 minutes.
90 minutes, okay.
And it gets even more detailed than that. Like, they have different FRL requirements for different types of walls, like even for concrete walls. There are specific tables for all of that in the code.
Wow, they really don't mess around when it comes to fire safety. It sounds like they've really thought of everything.
Yeah, they've got it all covered.
Speaking of fire safety features, you know what always catches my eye? Those heavy fire doors that you see in buildings.
Oh yeah, the big clunky ones?
Yeah, Those things are serious business. Does the Australian code say anything about those?
Of course. It's Australia. They're very detailed when it comes to fire doors and smoke doors and shutters.
Okay.
And they specify different types for different areas of the building. You know, they're kind of like the unsung heroes of fire safety. They help to contain the fire, you know, give people more time to get out.
They're essential, especially in those big buildings, right?
Definitely. You don't want to get trapped.
All right. So we've talked about how Australia classifies buildings and their emphasis on fire safety. But, you know, one thing that's become huge in construction these days is sustainability. Does the 2022 Australian Building Code address that at all?
Oh, it definitely does. It's actually a big part of it. In fact, one of the most significant changes in the 2022 update was this thing called NAVRS.
NAVRS. Okay, I've never heard of that. What is NAVRS?
NAVRS stands for the Nationwide House Energy Rating Scheme.
Nationwide House Energy Rating Scheme.
Yeah. And it's basically a way to rate how energy efficient a house is. Okay. So the more efficient your house is, you know, the higher the rating you get, which is good for the environment. And let's be honest, good for your wallet, too.
Right. So it's kind of like a scorecard for how eco-friendly your house is.
Exactly.
So does the code actually tell you how to achieve a good NAVRS rating?
Absolutely. It takes a bunch of things into account, like, you know, insulation, window placement, the materials they use in construction, even the orientation of the house on the site makes a difference. They really want people to consider energy efficiency right from the start, you know, from the very beginning of a project. And they've even gone so far as to outline specific climate zones for Australia.
Climate zones.
Yep. To make sure that the houses are built appropriately for the local weather conditions, you know, because it's a huge country with all sorts of different climates.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like building a house in the scorching desert is probably going to be a lot different than building a house on the coast, right?
Exactly. Different challenges. And they've even factored in things like heating and cooling loads for each zone, recognizing that a house in Darwin's going to have very different energy needs than, say, a house in Hobart.
That's a great point. They're really thinking ahead with all of this. So we've covered classifications, fire safety, and sustainability. What else does this code get into? Are there any surprises lurking in the pages of the Australian Building Code?
Huh, get ready for this one. They have extremely detailed instructions on bathroom waterproofing.
Bathroom waterproofing. Really, that's in the building code.
It's true. They even go so far as to specify, like, how shower screens should be installed to prevent leaks.
Wow. Okay, I would not have expected that.
It's all in there. Apparently, they've had enough issues with leaky showers that they felt the need to address it in the building code.
Well, hey, better safe than sorry, right? Nobody wants to deal with water damage.
Definitely not. So yeah, it's all about being thorough.
All right, so bathroom waterproofing. What other gems did you uncover?
Oh, there's a bunch. But something I was really glad to see was the emphasis on accessibility.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. They have detailed requirements for things like braille and tactile signage, you know, making sure that buildings are designed with everyone in mind.
I love that. Accessibility is so important.
It really is. And it's awesome to see it being, you know, prioritized in the building code.
Yeah, definitely reflects a shift towards more inclusive design principles.
Exactly. And here's one last detail that might surprise you.
Okay, hit me.
The code includes specifications for handheld bidet spray installations.
Wait, bidet sprays? Now that is incredibly specific. Who knew building codes could be so granular?
Uh-huh, right. It just goes to show that building codes are constantly evolving. You know, they're reflecting those changing societal needs and preferences. They're not just about structural safety anymore.
Yeah, they're about making spaces that are livable and comfortable and accessible for everyone.
Right. And sometimes that means, you know, addressing those unexpected needs. Bidet sprays, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. It's like every detail, no matter how small, tells you something about the society that created these codes, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
They're not just dry technical documents. It's a reflection of like who we are and what we care about.
Totally.
Now that we've touched on sustainability, I'm kind of curious about this new air tightness requirement that they have in the code for homes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting one. It might seem a little counterintuitive at first. You know, an airtight house, doesn't that feel stuffy?
Yeah, you'd think so.
But it's actually all about controlling the airflow.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's a fascinating concept. It's kind of like, well, you wouldn't leave all the windows and doors of your house open all the time.
Well, maybe the energy bill would be through the roof.
Exactly. You'd lose all the heat or the air conditioning.
Yeah.
So an airtight house is designed to, like, minimize those unintentional leaks and drafts and stuff, you know.
Oh, it's like wrapping your house in the super cozy insulated blanket.
I like that, a cozy blanket. So how do you get fresh air then?
Well, that's where the ventilation system comes in. To make sure you're still getting fresh air, you need a system to bring in clean air and get rid of the stale air, but in a really controlled way.
So if a builder makes a house that's airtight, which is, you know, great for energy efficiency, they also have to install a mechanical ventilation system as well.
Yep, that's the idea. It's a way of making sure that people's health and comfort aren't being sacrificed for the sake of being, you know, sustainable. And the 2022 Australian Building Code, it actually mandates this now in homes that meet a certain air tightness standard.
Oh, wow. So they've really thought this through. It's like a two-pronged approach, right? You keep the good air in and you bring the fresh air in as well. It's pretty clever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, earlier you mentioned how building codes can kind of give us a glimpse into a society's values. What do you think this 2022 Australian code tells us about their values? It's really interesting when you think about it that way. I think this code shows us a society that's trying to balance a lot of different priorities, you know. Yeah. On the one hand, there's this big emphasis on safety, especially when it comes to fire safety, which makes a lot of sense given, you know, Australia's bushfire risk and the extreme weather they get down there.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're also thinking about the future, you know. Yeah. They're realizing that buildings need to be able to withstand climate change and all that.
Right.
The introduction of NATHERS and this push for energy efficiency are pretty clear sign of that.
Yeah, they're tackling both the immediate concerns like fire safety and those long-term challenges like climate change.
Exactly. It's like they're saying, we're going to learn from the past, but we're also going to build for the future.
I like that. So it's a forward-thinking code.
Definitely. And then when you look a little bit deeper, you start to see those more subtle values reflected too.
Yeah.
Like take those detailed accessibility standards we talked about. Mm-hmm. I think that suggests a society that's really striving to be more inclusive and equitable.
Absolutely. The requirements for Braille and tactile signage, those are huge for making a more accessible world.
Yeah. Even something like the bidet spray installations, it's like a little window into those evolving attitudes towards hygiene and personal comfort.
It's true. It's like every little detail tells a story, even the bidet sprays.
Right. So it makes you wonder, what are future generations going to learn from the codes that, you know, we're creating today?
Yeah. What will our buildings say about us?
Exactly.
That's a great question to leave our listeners with. If building codes are a reflection of a society's values, what does the 2022 Australian code tell us? What can we learn from their approach to safety and sustainability and livability? I'd love to hear what you guys think.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from those unusual building classifications to like the nitty-gritty of fire resistance levels.
And even bidet sprays.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget the bidet sprays. Who knew building codes could be so fascinating, right?
Yeah, it's been a fun one. It really has. So for our listeners who are now total hooked on building codes, where can they go, like, learn more about this Australian code?
Well, the great thing is that the full text of the 2022 Building Code of Australia is actually available online.
Really?
Yeah. And it's free. So that's fantastic.
That's awesome. We'll definitely include a link in the show notes for anyone who wants to like dive deeper into the details. But before we wrap things up, I got to ask, what was the most surprising thing you found while you were researching this code?
Honestly?
Yeah.
I think it was just like the sheer level of detail they go into for some things. Like I knew building codes were, you know, comprehensive, but I never expected to find such specific instructions for things like, I don't know, bathroom waterproofing or bidet spray installation.
Oh, yeah.
It really makes you realize how much thought goes into creating like a truly safe and livable environment.
It's the little things, you know, that make a big difference. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise. This was awesome.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I love talking about this stuff. Building codes are like such a fascinating reflection of a society's values, you know.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Australian building codes. We hope you learned something new today, and maybe, just maybe, we've sparked a little curiosity about, you know, the buildings all around you. Until next time, keep exploring.